One of the central stories in Parashat Chayesara is the story of Eliezer traveling to Aram Naraim in order to find a shidduch for Yitzchak. And the story begins with Avram telling Eliezer to swear that he will specifically travel to Aram Naraim, the place where Avram grew up, and find the wife for Yitzchak from there, and not from Eretz Kenan. In the Torah, in Bereishis Perek Chav Dalid, the story reads as follows. Vavram zakin baba yamim. Avram became old, he was coming along in days. Vashem beirech es Avram bakayu. And Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Vayeme Avram el avdei zakan beisei. And Avram says to his servant, the elder of his household, Hamishal b'chol asher loy, who managed everything that belonged to Avram, simna yadcha tachas yirechi. Please place your hand under my thigh. V'ashbiacha, and I shall make you swear, Bashem, by Hashem, Lekei Hashemayim, Lekei Aretz, the power, the God of the heavens, and the power, the God of the earth. Asher loy tikach isha livni, mibnei saknayni asher narichi yeshe bekirbe. That you will not take from my son a woman, a wife, from the daughters of the Canaanite, amongst who I live. Ki el aritzi el vamilati telich. But rather you should travel to my land, to my birthplace, the Lakachta Isha live near Yitzchak. And there you should take a wife for my son, for Yitzchak. In these four psukim alone, there's really a lot we can learn. They're very, very deep, packed psukim. However, in this year, we're going to focus on a sicha from the Lubavitch Rebbe, the fourth sicha in the Kuhat Sichas Chelik Aleph for Parsha Chayesara, where the Rebbe discusses the concept of shavuos, the concept of oaths, and particularly the oath that's taken in the context of this story, the oath that Avram makes Eliezer take, the act of swearing, the shvua that Eliezer needs to take. And the Rebbe is going to discuss the particular mechanics of this oath, and he's going to discuss it in the context of the Gemara in Maseches Shavuos, which learns a lot of details about oaths from this story. And there's something unique about this sicha, in that the Rebbe is going to show us great mastery of Kabbalah, Chassidus, and Halacha. Because very often, methodologically, a way in which Rabbanim will, and even Gedolim, will approach the stories of Tanakh, is that they'll take a story in Tanakh which doesn't seem to have much legal halachic import. This story of Avram and Eliezer does not seem to be primarily a legal tale. And then they'll take this narrative, the story, and turn it into a halachic discussion. So the Rebbe begins by doing that, basing himself off the Gemara and Shavuos, but then the Rebbe turns that on its head and uses the halachic discussion to elicit spiritual messages about the inner meaning and the spiritual relevance of a shvuah, of an oath, for those of us who are not taking shvuahs, who are not taking oaths on a regular basis. This sicha is a sicha for Parshas Chayesara from the year 1955, and we're going to learn the sicha inside. The fourth sicha in the Kutas Sichas, Chelek Aleph for Parshas Chayesara, starting on page 38. The Rebbe says, in the Heintige Sedra state, in this week's parashas, in Parashas Chayesar, it says, as Avram Avinu gizok to Eliezerin, simna yadcha tach serichi. Place your hand under my thigh. The Gemara lent up their phone. The Gemara in Maseches Shavuos, Taflam Lachas Medbeis, learns therefrom, it learns from the story of Avram and Eliezer, as a Shavuot Arv Zayn Davke, Benikitas Chifetz, that when one takes an oath, one also needs to hold some object, some holy object, while taking this oath. Now, in the context of this story, the holy object that Eliezer holds is Avram's bris milah. Placing your hand under my thigh is a euphemism for place your hand on my bris milah, hold my bris milah. There in the Gemara in Shavuos, Zoktrav Papa, Rav Papa explains what is the relevant chayfetz, what's the relevant object that you need to hold in order to take an oath. As thus made the Sefer Torah, you need to hold the Sefer Torah, this taste. As Bashverin Muzman Dafke mit the Sefer Torah, you need to swear specifically with the Sefer Torah. Un as a dain velech bashvert on a Sefer Torah is a teibid var mishnah dav choyzer zayin. And if you have a judge who tells somebody to swear without a Sefer Torah, that's a very serious error on the judge's part, and this oath is null and void, and its consequences are null and void. Aber, the Gemara of Yirtotoy is neat via Rav Papa. The Gemara there does not rule like Rav Papa. Und der din bleibt as chotch lechatchila darf mentake hob in a Sefer Torah. And ultimately, the ruling is that even though ideally speaking, one should swear in a Sefer Torah. Aber b'dieved is good tefillin oich. It's sufficient also if you only swear on tefillin. Und a Talmud Chacham mishum kvoidoi megafilu chatchila shverim tefillin unit dafke mit a Sefer Torah. And when you're having a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, swear in Bezdin, in order to preserve the Torah scholar's honor, it's sufficient to make him swear on tefillin, not on the Sefer Torah, because if you swear on tefillin, it's going to be less of a ceremony, it's going to be less of a big deal. Der ganzer Din, arun velichen die Gemaret, is wegen ha-shvua von ha-meidem mikzatayna. Zayn in the Fershandik Zvezachim. And now the Rebbe adds that the whole discussion there in Shvua Islam and Ches is talking about a particular type of Shvua. There is a whole range of Shvuas, a whole range of oaths that Chazal tell us that one could potentially take. You have, for example, a Shvuas Vitoy, which is an oath which somebody takes with, they're just expressing something. They'll say, for example, I don't plan on sleeping for the next 24 hours. I'm taking a Shvua that I will not sleep for the next 24 hours. Nobody necessarily forced them to take the Shvua, but it's a Shvua they decided to take. Then you have a Shvuas HaPikadon. Shvuas HaPikadon would say, for example, that Reuven says that I left my watch by Shimon. And Shimon says, no, you never left your watch by me. So in order for Shimon to not have to deal with Reuven's taina, in order for Shimon to be absolved of Reuven's taina, that Shimon has his watch, Shimon has to take a Shvuas HaPikadon, and Shimon has to swear that he in fact did not have Reuven's watch. Reuven did not leave his watch by Shimon. Then, in this case, what the Gemara is discussing is a particular type of Shvuah, which is called a Meide B'miktsa Sataina. And this Shvuah of a Meide B'miktsa Sataina is, say, for example, Reuven tells Shimon, you owe me $200. And Shimon says, it's true that I borrowed $100 from you, but I didn't borrow $200. So in such a case, the Gemara says, if you're Meide B'miktsa Sataina, if you admit that part of the taina, part of the claim that was registered against you is true, then in such a case, your shvua, your oath, needs to be done with a nikitas chayfetz. It needs to be done with a holy object. So that's the story. We're learning from Eliezer and Avraham that Eliezer needed to take an object in order to verify his oath, in order to verify a shvua. So in a similar fashion, the Gemara in Shvua says, by a moedim miksataina, by a particular type of shvua, by a person who is admitting that part of the claim against him is true, but is saying that the rest of the claim is not, such a person also needs to engage in nikitas chayfetz. They also need to take some holy object, and by taking that holy object, that lends verification to their assertion that they only are obligated in part of what the person is claiming against them. So the Rebbe says that there are two things about this Gemara which are not so clear. Aleph. Number one. The Kashif is Tosis Vekdart. Tosis there asks a question. The Baldzim Gansin Lehrman up von Avraham Avinu. Given that we're learning out this entire story, we're learning out that you need a Nikita Schefetz, you need to take a holy object when you're taking an oath. We learned this in the story of Avraham Avinu. Vaspayim is Dachnit given their in from Amayde Mikzas. And the whole concept of Moedim Miktsas did not apply to Avraham Avinu, because this idea that you can be Moedim Miktsataina, that a person would be able to admit to part of the claim against them and then take an oath to say that they don't owe the rest, that is a chidush, that's something that was only received by Matan Torah. But before Matan Torah, this mechanism of Moedim Miktsataina would not have worked. So as Farvas Leitman does, da up, if Moedim Miktsatavke. Why then do we apply the story of Avraham and Eliezer specifically to a Maid B'miktsas, specifically to somebody who's admitting to part of the claim against them? Tosfos says that we shouldn't have only applied it to Maid B'miktsas. If we're learning out from the story of Avraham by oaths, we should make a generalizable rule by oaths that all oaths need to be b'nikitas chayfetz, that you need to take some holy object when you make the oath, including a shvuas bitoy and a shvuas hapikadon, which, as we said, a shvuas bitoy is an oath that I'm taking on some claim that I make. Let's say that I claim that I climbed Mount Everest, and somebody says, I don't believe you. So you say, I swear that I climbed Mount Everest. Or I claim that I traveled to Colorado, and somebody says, I don't believe you would ever travel to Colorado. So I say, I swear that I traveled to Colorado. That would be an example of a Shavuot Bitur. Or alternatively, I say, I plan on not sleeping for the next 24 hours. Someone says, I don't believe you. So I say, no, I swear that I will not sleep for the next 24 hours. All those are examples of a Shavuot Bitur. But we don't see by Shavuot Bitur that you need to indicate the Shavuot, that a person needs to take some holy object in order to affirm their Shavuot. Similarly, by a Shavuot HaPikadim, which, as we said before, is that Reuven says he left some precious apple by Shimon, and Shimon denies that Reuven ever left the apple by him. That would be a case of a Shavuot HaPikadon. And there as well, we don't see it. There's a idea of Nikitas Chayfetz, that Shimon has to take some holy object in order to affirm his claim. So why then do we only see Nikitas Chayfetz by a Shavuot of Meidim Miktsataina, of somebody who admits the part of the claim against them? That's his question, and Tosfos does not give an answer. The second question the Rebbe asks here, by Avram is dachnit given nitkin sefer Torah, nitkin tefillin. By Avram, the story of Avram, Avram did not have a sefer Torah and he didn't have tefillin. Nor an under mitzvah, he only had a different mitzvah, he only had the mitzvah of Milah. Von vanazashenet min zuzogin is min darf hobin a sefer Torah, the tefillin bafke. So from where then do we learn that you need specifically to have either a sefer Torah or tefillin in order for your oath to be a good, valid oath? The Rebbe continues. The inyan for a shvua, this idea of an oath, v'etar kleret in the Alter Rebbe's Maimer. The Alter Rebbe explains it in one of his Maimarim. On the Tzemach Tzedek's Maimer, and the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe Lubavitch also discusses this in a Maimer. A shvua is melashoin soiva. That the word shvua is consonant with the word soiva, which means satisfaction. So we're associating the concept of oath with the concept of satisfaction. Thus haste meaning to say, that when a person takes an oath, they are drawing on a higher power. Therefore, is their din as nishboin lekayim es hamitzvus. And that explains why there's a concept, the Gemara Nachigga tells us, that a person can take an oath that they're going to fulfill a mitzvah. For example, a person can take an oath that I'm going to put on tefillin tomorrow. Or a person can take an oath that I am going to say Kriyat Shema tomorrow bizmano. So you can take a shvu on any sort of mitzvah. Choche, eriz doch sai visai, bashvar in derov fun bar Sinai, although it's the case that in any event you already took an oath that you're going to fill all the mitzvahs at Har Sinai, vayel, durth der shvu get ben iim ahechr in koyach. But the reason why you're nonetheless able to make an additional shvu today, that you're going to fill mitzvah tomorrow, you're going to fill mitzvah in a little bit, is because by taking a shvua, you draw down a higher power. You draw down an Hashem's power, which will empower you to fill this mitzvah. Let's say this mitzvah you've been struggling with. If you affirm you're going to do it, if you take an oath that you're going to do it, that might help you better fulfill the mitzvah. That also explains the teaching of Gemara Nida, the Aflam Rebbeis, which says that before the soul comes down into the world, the heavenly court makes the soul swear that they should be righteous and they should not be wicked. That even though the souls are already obligated in fulfilling the Torah mitzvahs based on the oath that the soul took at Har Sinai, nonetheless, the heavenly court makes the soul take an oath again before it comes down to this world. In order that this power from above be connected to a person down here, as a zolba kumen dem dozgin koyach, and zolim kenen oisnotzen, in order that this power from above will reach the person, they'll be able to use it, there needs to be some medium, there needs to be some power, some intermediary between the above and below, between the supernatural and the natural, which connects the person to this power in order that the person be able to use it. There needs to be some receptor for this power. There does a ferbund is a mitzvah. That connection, that medium, that intermediary is a mitzvah. Because mitzvahs zayin in dem ibish shluchim, mitzvahs are the emissaries of Hashem. Mitzvahs are the conduits for Hashem, like we learn in Medrash Tanchuma. Kamdu etz hamitzvahs shehin shluchay. Hashem says, honor the mitzvahs, for they are my emissaries. And as we learn in Shas, the klal that shluchay shel adam kemaisei, that a person's emissary, that a person who goes on a mission for somebody else, is just like the person who sent him, is considered either an extension of the person who sent him, or is considered a medium of the person himself. And for this reason, a mitzvah is a conduit which connects the power from above with the person. That explains why a shvua, why an oath, must be done by taking some object, the room. That through holding the object of a mitzvah in your hand, this object, this object of the mitzvah, connects you to the power from above. So you're taking the shvua. The shvua is a power from above. But what allows you to connect with that power? What allows you to come and touch that power? The fact that you're holding the object of a mitzvah. Thus is the declaring oif nikitas chifetz bechalal. This explains why, generally speaking, a person should take a holy object when they're making a shvua, when they're taking an oath. Favasa b'net mendafke sefer Torah d'tfil. But why do we specifically take either a sefer Torah or tefillin as the object of the oath? Eshtate. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Hashem didn't create anything for no purpose. Everything in the world has a purpose. For this reason, wherever a Jew is, a person needs to elevate everything to the realm of holiness. So it follows that you should be able to use this power from above that you're given to elevate the entire world. So a person is meant to use this power from above, the shvua, in order to transform the world. And in principle, we transform the entire world, and the entire world becomes a medium for holiness. But what is, broadly speaking, our mamutza? What is our intermediary? What is the vehicle which connects us with holiness and which allows us to sanctify the world? What's the bridge between the above and below? That bridge between the above and the below, that mamutza, that intermediary, is the Torah. And through the Torah's perspective, through studying the Torah, and even just through the act of holding the Torah, we connect to this higher spiritual power. Like them, according to this, we can understand why it is that we would take tefillin as the object of the shvua, as the object of the oath. While tefillin is their inyan from Torah, because tefillin corresponds to the idea of Torah. As it is declared in the Maimer of Chassidus, like it's explained in the famous Maimer of Chassidus, which the Rebbe Marash, the fourth Rebbe of Chabad, taught, and he wrote down, it was recited first by his son, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, in Tof Reish, on Chof Mar Cheshvan, Tof Reish Lamed Dalid, in the year 1873, and it was then repeated in the year Tof Reish Nun Gimel, in 1893, at the Bar Mitzvah of the Friedrich Rebbe, and is generally said at Bar Mitzvahs in Chabad today. And the Maamar goes as follows, Isa Mej Tilim. We learn in the Medrash of Sefer Tehillim, Rabbi Eliezer says, Omri Yisrael Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people say before Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam Reitzim Anu Li Gabbatayim V'Layla V'Ein Lanu Pnai. Masters of the universe, we want to engage in Torah. We want to work ourselves out in Torah day and night, but we don't have the time. Omri Lu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem responds to them, Hashem tells the Jews, fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, and I will consider it as if you have engaged in Torah, you've worked yourselves out in Torah day and night. And just to say that in Yiddish, And just to summarize that, that's just the Yiddish way of saying that the Jewish people tell Hashem, we would like to engage in Torah day and night, but we don't have the time to do so. So Hashem says, put on tefillin, and that will be considered as if you engage in Torah day and night. For statement of the Maamar Azal, as tefillin is a zel b'inyan for Sefer Torah. So we see from this medrash that tefillin corresponds to Torah. What does this mean? Der Beirin Yuniz, the explanation of his teaching is, Vorum der Inyan von Torah, the idea behind Torah, is Mamshech Zayin Meichin in Midas. is to manifest the intellect within our emotions. And the same is accomplished through tefillin. Durich legen tefillin lemata, through the act of putting on tefillin down here, poyltman the hanochas tefillin lemaila. That affects that with the divine consciousness, there is the act of putting on tefillin. As we learn in Maseches Brachos, is not an idea from some esoteric Kabbalistic sefer. It's on that vav and aleph in Maseches Brachos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on tefillin. What does that mean? So Chassidus explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu symbolizes Zah. It symbolizes Zer Anpin, which is Hashem, as we relate to Hashem as a being, which manifests to us with Midos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zah, the Midos, the emotions, the psychological transcendent being with emotions, or manifests to us with emotions, what it means that he's meiniach tefillin, it means that they're meichin, that there's an intellect, there's an intellectual calculus which manifests within the midos. And when the intellect manifests in the midos, that's generally a good thing, because a mature person, a kind individual, is somebody usually who has a calculus for why it is that they behave the way they do. Chassidus explains the difference between a katan and a gadol, between a child and an adult, or alternatively between an animal and a human, is that a human has a much more sophisticated rationale for what it is that they do. And similarly, an adult has a much more sophisticated rationale than does a child. You want to be in a relationship with a person who is a baal meichin, who's controlled by an intellectual calculus as opposed to an emotional calculus. Because if you're in a relationship with a person who's primarily just a slave to their emotions, so today they might express themselves to you very kindly because they're feeling in a good mood, but there's no consistency in such a relationship, because the moment that they are in a bad mood, their tune will change. Whereas, if you have somebody who's a baal meichin, somebody who is primarily led by an intellectual calculus, based on what's rational, based on what makes sense, such a person will be much more even killed, they'll be a much more easy person to deal with. In a similar fashion, Chassidus says that in our own lives, when we are in a state of lacking meichin, that's considered galus. When we are in a state of lacking a full intellectual calculus behind our emotions, that's considered a state of exile. And geula corresponds to having the proper intellectual calculus behind our emotions. So that's all within the human paradigm. But then, as Hashem manifests to us, Hashem manifests to us as if there are emotions going on. It might seem to us that Hashem is angry, that Hashem is happy, and we would experience that, the Rambam explains in the Ohr Nevuchim, based on how our life is going, or based on the events in the world. If there are negative events going on in the world, we would describe that as Hashem being angry, and if there are positive events, we would describe that as Hashem being in a positive mood. Then the idea of drawing down meichin into these midas is that you manifest that the way in which Hashem's midas manifest are going to be in a way that's arranged by a more stable calculus. So we see here, Alpi Kabbalah, that the act of putting on tefillin has very significant ramifications, Lamaila, has very significant ramifications within the divine psyche and in terms of how the world will manifest, how the world will work. So now that we understand this idea of putting on tefillin corresponds to drawing down meichin, drawing down the intellect into the emotions, both in ourselves and correspondingly within divine reality, and therefore came an oich durich haltin tefillin b'shas teshvuah. We now understand why it is you're also allowed to hold tefillin while making an oath, and not only a Torah. Vazeir inyan avedas Hashem is mishabed the moyach on hearts. That tefillin in one's divine service symbolizes subjugating one's brain and one's heart, as we learn Shulchan Aruch Chaim Simen Chaf Hei. Oiftan de farbund von dem Bekeach Shalamayla mitvelt azoi vi durach Torah. That tefillin is about affecting the connection between the force that's above the world with the world, and so it is by Torah. Aber das ist bloi is an in von dievet. But this idea of swearing on tefillin is the second best option. As if he is the lashon from the Midrash, And that coheres what we learn in the aforementioned Medrash. As Yidden Volten Velen Harvin in Toira Togunach, the Jewish people wish that they could engage in Torah study day and night. Norvi Baldas in Lono Pnai, but because the Jewish people do not have sufficient time, is Bidiyeved, the second best option is Genug Oich, the Inuf and Tefillin. It's sufficient to just put on Tefillin. There's Shibuth and Kopenhagen, it's the Kalapachos von Anib's talk. This idea of subjugating one's mind and heart, at least at the very beginning of the day. And through that act of subjugating the heart and mind at the beginning of the day, that impacts the rest of the day. The rest of the day should go as it should, that the rest of the day will be an uplifted day and a day in which a person subjugates their heart and mind to Hashem. Eshtetin Zoyer, the Zoyer in Chilek Gimel tells us, as a Talmud Chacham vert ungrufen Shabbos. And a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, is called Shabbos. And on night to give them is found Eichen Gemara. We see this also in Gemara in Shabbos and Afkufitas Amin Aleph. The Gemara that sailed as is Gekumen at Talmud Chacham to guest. There was once a Torah scholar who came as a guest somewhere. Hotman Gebna Grace Sodom. So the host gives the Torah scholar a great Sodom. Hotman Chacham Chacham Gefrekt von Varnab and Genuma di Sodom. Where did you get such an expensive, beautiful Sodom from? Men hat sich doch auf ihm nicht gericht. The Talmud Chacham's arrival had been unexpected. So how did they know to prepare such a Sodom? Hotman geantwortet, the host answers, as us men zugerate auf Shabbos. This Suda, this feast, had been prepared for Shabbos. Und as eres gekommen, hotman mevekigeben die Shabbos dike Suda. But when the Talmud Chacham showed up, the host gave the Talmud Chacham the Shabbos Suda, the Suda that had been prepared for Shabbos. So this shows that not only does the Zayar say that a Talmud Chacham is called Shabbos, but the Gemara in Shabbos also implies that a Talmud Chacham has some connection to Shabbos. The Shaychus from Shabbos with Talmud Chacham is, the connection between Shabbos and Talmud Chacham is, Weil Shabbos is men abgescheidet von Wochendicke Beschäftigungen. That on Shabbos, a person is completely detached from worldly engagement. Thus haste, von den Jannen von der Chumirsticke Welt, meaning from the things that are related to the physical, corporeal world. And so too is the way of a Talmud Chacham, like the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Deis. Is abgescheid von der Chumirsticke Welt, the Talmud Chacham is separate, is removed from the physical world. And that explains why it is that a Talmud Chacham need not hold a Sefer Torah when he is taking an oath. Because what is the Sefer Torah? The Sefer Torah represents connecting the realm that is above with the world. But since the Talmud Chacham is in any event beyond the world, the Talmud Chacham is not attached to the world, but Talmud Chacham primarily lives in a place that is higher than this world, so the Talmud Chacham does not need to come on to the power of the physical Torah in order to connect him to a higher power, because the Torah that he studies and the world that he lives in as a result of that Torah study makes it such that he is already beyond this world without needing to hold the Sefer Torah. To tefillin, but the tefillin in contrast, even the Talmud Chacham needs to carry tefillin, to hold tefillin while taking an oath. While tefillin is dach meshavetz and kap and hearts, because tefillin speaks to the commitment of the mind and the heart. Und das toteif dem verbund von dem kriach von oibin mit dem mensch, and that takes the power from above and binds it with the person. Andrish, the Sefer Torah of Asr Inyan, is the Farbun from the Dazgim Kayach. So in this respect, Tfilin is different than the Sefer Torah. Because Tfilin is about connecting the transcendent with the person themselves, whereas the Torah is about connecting the transcendent with the world around them. Das, was by Avram Avinu, is by der Shvu and Nitgiven Kain Sefer Torah und Tfilin, nor the Mitzvah Mil Dafke. Why is it that by Avram there was no tefillin and there was no Sefer Torah, but rather just the mitzvah of Mila? Why was the oath done on the mitzvah of Mila? Why was the Mila the object in question, which verified the oath, which was there to strengthen the oath? We can understand this question by first prefacing another famous question. The Baal of Avram Avinu, hadach mekayim given the ganze Torah, given that Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah. Why did Avraham Avinu wait with the mitzvah of Milah until Hashem called him to do the mitzvah of Milah? Why is it that Avraham didn't just do Milah on his own? The Eretz Yiftim is like them. Was the Bavus bringing them out to man Torah if the mitzvahs velcha the avos ad makayim given nachfir. So the answer to this question can be understood according to the well-known explanation of the virtue of the accomplishment of Matan Torah and what the mitzvos of Matan Torah do relative to the mitzvos that the avos fulfilled before Matan Torah. Fire Matan Torah before Matan Torah is given the gzeiras bnei roim liyari l'surya. The says Zolnit Zain came for Bun from Ruchnism the Gashmias. Mantheus does a Gzair Batlakvarn. So the Benjamin Shmeis Rabba tells us a very interesting story. It gives the mushal of a king which said that there could be no travel between two provinces. And the province in question, it says, are Rome and Syria. Rome and Syria were bordering provinces. And the border was closed. The king said that no one can travel between these two bordering provinces. For those living in 2021, this example probably hits close to home, given that we've been experiencing so many travel restrictions. But what these travel restrictions represent, that there could be no connection between the world of physicality and the world of spirituality. That there was an intensive divide between the spiritual and the physical before Matan Torah. Matan Torah represents the reconciliation of the physical with the spiritual. By Matan Torah, the two realms, which had previously been separate, the two realms between which there was the proverbial travel restriction, now become integrated and one can go between the physical and the spiritual. By Matan Torah, es is givaren a megelchayt of hazafer bund. That created the opportunity for this connection between the physical and the spiritual. Matan Torah hat oifkiton, as oi bayidz mekayim a mitzvah, mit a gash mis the kazach, veret a dover a gash mihilik. Matan Torah accomplished that when a Jew does a mitzvah with a physical thing, that physical thing will become holy. The mitzvah is the avos hat mekayim given. The mitzvah which the avos fulfilled, chodz the habin, as Kitan and Gashmit Gazachan, even though it's the case they did in fact occasionally use physical objects in order to fill these mitzvahs. But there was no connection between the mitzvah they did and the physical object. Their Gashmi is Gibliban and Zainachumrias as they fear. The physical remained in its physicality, in its corporeality, just as it had been before the mitzvah was done with it. Nochman Teria, there Durich the mitzvah, the Gashmi Alain Kaddish. However, after Matan Torah, the physical itself becomes holy. Und der Fahr bleibt die Breifi Makdusha, euch noch in Mekayim sein die Mitzvah. And therefore, holiness remains on the object even after the Mitzvah is fulfilled. Der Tam der Ruf is weil der Kima Mitzvah by the Ovis is given mit zir eginem Koyach. Why is it the case that the Avos were not able to transform physical objects and to make the physical objects sacred? Why couldn't they confer Kedusha onto a talis, onto tefillin? Why can they confer Kedusha onto a Sefer Torah? Because the mitzvahs of his deed were done through their own spiritual powers. And for that reason, they were unable to suffuse, to penetrate the physical. Which is not the case after Matan Torah, that after Matan Torah we are able to uplift the physical itself. However, we do have a principle that the actions of the forefathers are a symbol for their children. And not only do the things that our forefathers did, not only do these represent what will be by the children, not only are they a foreshadowing, but they also empower the children. They also empower the Jewish people. So for that reason,
the
forefathers, the Avos, were given a mitzvah which is similar to the mitzvahs which the Jews received after Matan Torah. And das is the mitzvah of Milah, and that is the mitzvah of Milah, was in machtem gashmi kaddish, which makes the physical holy. And the kedusha is nit nor b'shastem kiyum ha-mitzvah. And the holiness in here is not only at the time of the fulfillment of the mitzvah, nor is ifar bleibt euch efshpeter, but rather it remains even after the mitzvah is done. It turns the object on which it is done into a holy object. Azevi the mitzvah nach Matan Torah, just like the mitzvahs which were after Matan Torah. And a raivtim is the proof that the holiness remained in the after the mitzvah is The Shas, the Shvua, at the time of the Shvua, to Gezogt, Simna Yodcha Tachzerechi. At the time of the Shvua, Avram tells Eliezer, place your hand under my thigh, which is a euphemism for hold my bris milah. While the Kedush is Giblibin, Oich, Oif Shpeter, because the holiness remained even afterwards. Afil Nachdem, the Yerot Shem Mekhamik Vendi Mitzvah, even after he fulfilled the Mitzvah. Mitzvah Mila is derived given Andrish from the other mitzvah velch of the Ovis of Mekhaim given, while thus given Durach at Sivoy from the Mevershin. The mitzvah Mila is therefore different than the other mitzvahs which the Ovis fulfilled because it came through a divine command. Und der Fahrt, the Avram Avinu Gevart, with him does give mitzvah, bis der Ebeshtur vetem Hasen. And that's why Avram Avinu waits to fulfill the mitzvah Mila until Hashem tells him to do the mitzvah. Weil, the mitzvah is in ganzen anderish from the andere mitzvahs. Because this mitzvah is completely different than the other mitzvahs. Was Avram hat mekayim gevarim shavim fulfilled. Und if them hat men gedarf tovin akeyach omayim. And for this, in order to fulfill this mitzvah, in order that this mitzvah be able to also impact and transform the physical world, Avram needed power from above. Leit dem vet min verstehen, for was Avram shvua is given durch mitzvah. That also helps explain why it is that Avram's oath is done through the mitzvah mila. Chotch yetz, even though it's the case that now, Davman Hobman Sefer Torah, a person needs to do the shvua on a Sefer Torah. The inyan for the mitzvah mila demult is given to verbinden and mamzach standing to shen velt biz der gashmi. The idea of the mitzvah mila then was to manifest holiness and was to draw down holiness in the world all the way to the physical until it suffused the physical. The zelba was matan Torah teifketon and was Torah to teif yetzt, which accomplishes the same thing that matan Torah did and what Torah does now. Well, down with the mitzvah mila given their klolus in infantry. And in Avram's time, the mitzvah of mila was the general principle which symbolized the Torah, because the mitzvah of mila was the symbol of transforming the physical into the spiritual of manifesting the spiritual within the physical. Lead them in accordance with all this. Hat euch verstehen, for was man lernt es ab, nur if der Schwur von beiden Mitzvahs, nicht euch if die Ibrige Schwurs. According to all this, now we can return Tosus's question that Tosus had asked, why is it that the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lam Nechasam and Beis, only discusses the idea of Shavua B'Nikithas Chayfetz, of taking an oath with an object, and particularly an object of the mitzvah, only by the particular type of Shavua, by the particular type of oath, called the Shavua of Moedim Mitzvahs, the oath of somebody who admits to part of the claim? As the example we gave, let's say that Reuven says that Shimon owes him $200 and Shimon admits to only owing $100. So in such a case, Shimon would have to take an object like a Sefer Torah or Tefillin when he makes the oath that he only owes $100 to Reuven in order for him to be absolved of Reuven's additional claim. So why is it that we only see the idea of Shuv B'Nikitas Chavetz by Amid the Mikzas? The Rebbe explains, Al Dishuv made the mixes negeh to call Savayit Hashem, because this oath of partial admission is relevant to our general service of Hashem. When Bishas Bakum Takoyach von Oibin in the Inyan from made the mixes, when Shemimela Ferich the Inyanim Prati, and when we have this power from above with respect to the spiritual idea of made the mixes, which we're about to explain, then all of the details in our life will become good, all the details in our life will become straightened out. So in order to explain this claim, we need to explain what's the Shavua of Meidim Mikzas, what does it mean in terms of our spiritual Avodas Hashem? The Rebbe says, declaring for them inyan for the Meidim Mikzas in Ruchnias Dekir Aveda is, the meaning of this idea of partial admission in one's spiritual service is, Nishama Shenesatabi. We realize that Hashem gave us the Nishama. As the Nisham was the Ebishtar at the Mir Arangigabin is thus, Bechleid Zermenchel, Duras Lein Aveda, Komen Su An Aliyah. That Hashem only gave us the Neshama in order that we elevate the Neshama, in order that our embodied soul bring the Neshama to some degree of elevation. On Azeh State, Eche Medrash. And we learn this also in the Medrash in Vayikar Rabbah. Vegan Yedin Prat from their Aveda. With respect to every detail of our Aveda, the Medrash there quotes the Pasuk in Eiv, Mihikdi mani vashalim. So that's a pasuk in the penultimate parak of Iyov. And there, Hashem is telling Eiv about how it is exactly that he runs the world, and more generally, that Eiv can't understand the way in which Hashem runs the world. But the way the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba reads the Pasuk is, Mi hikdimani va'ashalim. Who is able to precede me? Who is able to come before me? If such a person comes before me, I'll pay them back. So Medrash explains, what does this mean? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar reads the question as follows. Who can praise me if I did not give them a neshama? Meaning a person thinks that he's great, he davens to Hashem, he's such a righteous person. But in order to be able to praise Hashem, in order to be a righteous person, you need to have a neshama in order with which to praise Hashem. Or, mi malishmi ad shaloi nesati le'ben zachar. Who can give the bris milah if I didn't give you a son to make the bris milah on? Who made a fence on the roof if I, Hashem, did not give them the roof? Who can make a mezuzah if Hashem doesn't give them a house? You can't make a sukkah if you don't have a place in order in which to put the sukkah and Hashem gives that place. Who can shake the lulav and esrog? Who can have a lulav if Hashem did not give them money with which to purchase the lulav? Mi osali tzitzis achlein esatle talis. If you put tzitzis on your garment, Hashem had to give you a garment in order to put tzitzis on. Mi hifishli peya achlein esatle sadeh. You can't take peya from your field unless Hashem gave you a field. Mi hifishli truma achlein esatle goyren. Who can take truma if Hashem didn't give him grain? You can't separate chal unless Hashem gave you dough. And who can bring a korban unless Hashem gives you an animal? The point being, we see from this medrash of meek, the imani of Hashalim, who preceded me such that I should pay them back, means to say that Hashem gives us the wherewithal. Hashem facilitates everything that it is that we do in the world. As the Ebesher get kayach hayidin if yeder mitzvah prat, Hashem empowers us to do every mitzvah. As we saw in that very long list, you have to have the means to do the mitzvah in order to do the mitzvah. And Hashem gives us everything. He gives us our soul. He gives us our body. And He gives us the tools with which to do the mitzvahs. Undi keiches, and these powers, these potentials that Hashem gives us. Zainin oif bar, Hashem gives us these things on credit. He gives neshama on credit with the assumption that we're going to use neshama for the right things. He gives us children with the assumption we're going to bring up the children in the right way. He gives us a house. He gives us a roof. He gives us property. He gives us money. He gives us clothing. He gives us food. All on the assumption or all with the expectation that we're going to use them for the right purposes. Ermand as menzol das optzol. Hashem wants us to pay back what He's given us. To use them for the service of Hashem, to use them for uplifting the world. Like the Friedrich Rebbe used to say, the sixth Rebbe Lubavitch used to say, Onamen from the Friedrich Rebbe, in the name of the Rebbe who preceded him, who preceded the Friedrich Rebbe. Dem Taich von dem Loshen Hakafis. He would explain what the term hakafas means. Literally, hakafas means rotations, revolutions, that you're going around the bima. But the Friedrich Rebbe explained, Azayvi Tishrei is a chodesh klali. In that Tishrei is a chodesh klali. It's the general month. It's the month which includes the entire year. Chodesh HaShvi. It's called the 7th month. But here, Shvi, and this is similar to the idea we explained earlier in the Sikha, that Shvua is Molshoin Musba, satisfied, sated. So in a similar way, Shvi is associated with the word musba, satisfied. In Yiddish, ongezaktik, mikol tov, it's satisfied with all good. Menzaktik on demult ayidin oich mit kechasiv gansyar. Hashem fills up a Jew with power, with spiritual potential for the entire year, through the month of Tishrei. Vas megitim ba'kafa. Hashem gives it to us all on credit, if bark. But Hashem demands, Hashem desires that there be Aveda, that you need to have service of Hashem, that we pay back what Hashem has given us. As Levi Yishlit by Avram, and like we see by Avram, that Avram paid off his debts, that Rashi explains in the words, Vayelech lemasav, that Avram returned to his journeys, as by Zin Surikveg, other upgetzolt Zayn Halvas, that on Avram's way back from Mitzrayim, Avram pays back all of his debts. Although it's the case that we receive these powers from above, and that's why the mitzvah is chav zecharein lagid. Is recht as a result on even a bit of lekin and tainin kechivetsim yadi osali is a chayelazer. A person following the Yitzharah might deny that everything they have is in fact from Hashem, and they might say, or they might have the perspective that all the power that they have, or some of the power that they have at least, some of the opportunities that they have, are a result of their own efforts, and they're not ultimately Hashem's gift. Koyfer HaKol, to deny everything, to deny that Hashem has given you anything, to say that you're completely your own man, Zakh the Gemara is thus kenet zayn. The Gemara says that such a thing can't be. We don't imagine that somebody would be koyfer HaKol, somebody would deny the entire claim if somebody claims against them. But the chazaka is, because the legal presumption is as a mensch, v'nit zayn azaz ponim, far zayn bal chayf. If somebody lent you money, the Gemara assumes that you wouldn't be so brazen as to say that the person didn't lend you anything. You might deny how much they lent you, but you still will admit, yes, this person did lend me money. I was down, I needed help, I was vulnerable, and this person lent me money. But you might think that this person doesn't necessarily deserve the full amount of money back, so you'll find different reasons to deny that he loaned you the entire sum. You'll say, but I do in fact owe him a certain amount of money.
To completely deny Hashem and Hashem's help, a Jew can't do.
That even when a Jew sins, the Jew is still faithful on some level to Hashem, given that their neshama is within them.
The neshama is ascending gethlichkeit. Zi is b'fnei bal chayve. When a chazaka in all the maze ponda b'fnei bal chayve.
The neshama is constantly standing before Hashem. And the presumption is that a person will not be brazen enough to deny their debt to their debtor.
If you look, kal shebekal matnet the yozel to liken in gans and the mechayiv, meindik as this is koychi veitzim yadi.
Even the most degraded person would not have the brazenness to completely deny their debt to Hashem and think that I made it all. It's all my power and my strength.
Norvas. Erez amaydim miktas.
But what? In what sense then does the person deny Hashem's involvement? They partially admit.
In givisa pratim halter as es kechi veitzim yadi.
In certain respects, a person thinks that they're responsible for their own success.
Un givisa enyonim, with respect to certain things, meinter as there is a lena balabais and kenton vaservil,
that he himself is responsible for his own success and he can do what he wants.
Er davin to learn taki, he in fact does learn a davin.
But after davening and learning, he thinks he's already paid back Hashem what Hashem is owed.
And yet, it's
and at this point, he's now in his own domain. What he accomplishes is his own accomplishment.
In the Ibrike Lakin there,
with respect to the other dimensions of his life, with respect to his business and what have you, he denies that Hashem is responsible for success. A person calculates that he does not, in fact, violate any Torah prohibitions. Not only does the person not violate the Torah's mitzvahs, but he also fulfills mitzvahs, he learns Torah. He's given Hashem everything that Hashem is owed.
On the ibrike, and what remains is ein eigener keich.
That all is one's own power.
Zaken mas also sein vermogt. Und sein ganze Metzies ist nicht sein keich und Stärkeit, nur er muss mide sein, es das ganze Gehör zum Ebersten. Wo er mehle muss er ihm als abzahlen.
So in response, such a person who thinks that he's paid off his debts to Hashem, as he can split between the religious domain of his life and the secular domain of his life, we say no. Everything that belongs to you ultimately belongs to Hashem. As we saw there in the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, the fact that you have money that ultimately comes from Hashem, the fact that you have a place to live, like you have a home, the fact that you have food, the fact that you have clothing, the fact that you have children, the very fact that you're alive, all of that ultimately comes from Hashem, and therefore you can't just leave your responsibility for Hashem inside of Beis Knesses. You can't leave your responsibility for Hashem inside of your shir of Torah, but rather your responsibility to Hashem pervades and permeates every area of your life.
Und if them is the shvuah from Lashon Soiva, and that explains the oath, which comes from the term of satisfaction. Hashem satisfies us. Hashem fills us up with a power from above. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ezri, Hashem helps us. As men zol haben the ibr tzegung, that will have the conviction, that will have the awareness, as kin egin is in ganzen etah, that nothing that we have is ultimately our own, that nothing that we have is ultimately a function of our own power. And it follows from that Muslim from Alan Yonim from the Velt Machalikos, that we therefore have an obligation to transform everything that we meet in the world into a divine object. From the ganze Welt gehört zum Eibishten. And that's because the entire world belongs to Hashem. Olem enem dem koyach, omen is das mamshech in Welt, and when one takes that power, one takes that power of divine transcendence and manifests it in the world. Noch dem vim in machta bracha. After one makes a bracha, meaning whether you're making a bracha on food or it's not food, so you have to make a bracha on, but you have an awareness that this object that you're using, that you're engaging in, ultimately comes from Hashem. So when you have that awareness, when you engage with the world, then is it the case that Hashem gives the world to us, erba kumt amiktsas, a person gets a certain portion of the world, atel lizvert zayna, a portion of the world that becomes his, and becomes his through his act of elevating the world, because he's partnered with Hashem, he's channeled Hashem into reality. Just as in the physical world, if a person wants to take a shvuah and they want to access the higher power that a shvuah can confer, one must hold a Torah or tefillin. In a similar way, if a person wants to access a higher power in their spiritual service, they need to do the same. Ideally speaking, a person should hold the proverbial Sefer Torah. What does that mean? Harvin togunacht in Torah. Engaging themselves day and night, wearing themselves out day and night in Torah study. Because the Torah gives us the ability to connect the world with divinity, as we explained above. As that the purpose of Matan Torah was to bind physicality with divinity. And that is also the meaning of Torah in a simple sense. As the Maral taught us, Torah is milshoin hora. Torah is hora, teaching. An unweisung, it's meant to be a lesson. Torah deis daan, wie es Jesus in jeden indifen Welt, leut dem Ratsen von Eibishin. Torah shows us how to use everything in the world according to Hashem's will. No eimen ken nit oisfirn, as men zol a ganzen tag harven in Torah. But if a person is not able to accomplish, they should study Torah all day long. Zog a parim anoid togs, and the shibut von meichen hearts. At least at the beginning of the day, they should make sure to subjugate their heart and mind. Durach mitzvah tefillin, through the mitzvah tefillin. That could be either physically putting on tefillin, or it could also be the proverbial act of putting on tefillin. Of course, if you're a Jewish man above the age of bar mitzvah, you have to put on tefillin physically. But any person should engage in this act of shibud hamayach v'alev, of subjugating the mind and the heart to Hashem. And even if you do put on tefillin physically, you're also meant to have this kavanah. And through this act of putting on tefillin, und also sein den onay ben der anweisung von der ganzen tag, the act of putting on tefillin, the contemplation of subjugating one's heart and mind to Hashem, will be the beginning and the lesson, the perspective, the attitude for your entire day. As all sein geschäften durch dem tag sein gebet auf dem shibud, that all of your engagements all day long will be built on this subjugation. Fun mayachen hearts, of mind and heart, was in onayim tog, which began at the beginning of the day. Und der inyan von halten as sefer teru und tefillin. In oibe der monten zin, peil teifim erzol zayin amayda bekulay. And by holding a Torah or tefillin in the aforementioned fashion, meaning either by actually engaging in a serious Torah study all day long,
or alternatively, by contemplating at the beginning of the day that you are subjugating your heart and mind to Hashem, that will impact you to admit that everything ultimately belongs to Hashem. And then it emerges that all of your other shvuas, all of your other oaths, all of your other engagements in the world are going to be divine, they're going to be true, they're going to be good.
Like them, according to this, that Eichlein verstandig was die Shvua lemmen up from the Shvua von Avraham Avinu benigei de chasav yitzchakin.
And this also explains why it is that we learn the concept of Shvua benigei de chasav, of an oath by taking a particular object in the context of the Shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. Which is the idea of the integration of the masculine and the feminine, and it's not just the masculine and the feminine in the context of a individual relationship, but rather it's the integration of masculine and feminine writ large in cosmic reality.
As this concept is elaborated on in the books of Kabbalah.
So this idea of Moide B'miktas, of partial admission, which as we've just explained at length, is a major concept in our service of Hashem, is mentioned in the context of Shidduch, which is also a very general, holistic concept in Avedas Hashem.
The Anweisung L'Poil from dem Ganzen is, the overall lesson from this entire discussion of the Gemara and Shavuos and learning out from Elias and Avram and Amoid Miktas, the whole discussion is Bishasman Gate the Race and Veld, when a person goes out into the world. That from this and a clueless taken in, they have to know a general principle, as the Yisrael for Navaida is. Foundation of your service of Hashem is Benzol Benemin Asifer Torah Mitzich. You need to take a Sefer Torah along with you. Harvin and Torah Vifalas is Narda. Loitim Shulchan Arach Zeit. You have to study Torah in as much time as you can, according to the Shulchan Aruch, meaning don't make subjective limitations on your Torah study. If you have the ability to study Torah, you should study Torah. Under Ibrikat Zeit, in the remaining time, Zel Akapanim Zayin, Dianagam Betshibat HaMeach V'Alev. In one's remaining time, when they're not engaged in Torah study, when they're engaged in the mundane, at the very least, their engagement in the mundane should be in such a way that their mind and heart is committed to Hashem.
And this will empower a person to turn all their physical things into vehicles, into vessels for divinity. Let's summarize the sicha. And for sichas in Likutei Sichas Chalakim Al through Dalid, in the first four books of Likutei Sichas, this is generally one of the more complicated sichas. The Gemara in the sixth parak of Shavuos, on Daf Lamin Chesem and Beis, discusses the concept of Shvua, discusses the concept of taking an oath. And particularly the oath that this parak in the Gemara is talking about is the oath of a Moide B'miktsas Hataina, which is somebody who admits to part of a claim that was registered against them. Let's say that Reuven says that Shimon owes him $200. And Shimon responds, I only owe you $100. So in such a case, Shimon is Moide B'miktsas Hataina. Shimon admits to part of the claim against him, not to the entire claim. So in such a case, the Mishnah there in the sixth parak of Shavuos tells us that Shimon needs to swear. He needs to take an oath, the Shavua of Moide B'miktsas. And by taking this oath, Shimon will be absolved of the claim against him. He'll pay the $100, but he will not owe the additional $100 if he in fact takes the oath. The Gemara asks, Heichi mashbeinon lei, how do we make the person take an oath? Amrav Yehuda Merav, Yehuda said name Merav, mashbeinon lei say b'shvua amur b'tayra. You make him take the sort of oath which is mentioned in the Torah. As we learn in Parashat Chayesar in the second Aliyah, in Bereishis Chof Dal Gimel, Vashbiachav Hashem Elikei Hashemayim, that when Avram sends Eliezer to go and get a shidduch for Yitzchak in Aram Naharayim, he tells him, I will make you take an oath by Hashem, the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. And Avram tells Eliezer, Simna yadcha tachas reichi, place your hand beneath my thigh, a euphemism for grasp my bris milah. Why does Avram tell Eliezer to grasp his bris milah? Because that was the only mitzvah they had around back in the day. But there in the Gemara in Shavuos, it says, nowadays we don't have you grasp a bris milah when you take the oath, but rather you grasp one of two things. Either you hold a Sefer Torah or you hold tefillin. There's machlekes there in the Gemara. Is it only a Sefer Torah or will even tefillin do? And the Gemara concludes that tefillin too will do. In analyzing this Gemara, the Rebbe tries to work out what's the spiritual symbolism we can learn from this Gemara. What does the idea of Shuas Meide B'Miktzas HaTaina symbolize? What does the Sefer Torah symbolize? What does the Tefillin symbolize? What's going on here? What can we learn from this very technical Gemara in terms of our spiritual Avedas Hashem? So the Rebbe explains as follows. The idea of Shavua, he says, in the name of earlier Rebbeim, the name of Tzemach Tzedek, and the name of the Alter Rebbe, is that Shavua is consonant with the word Soiva. Soiva means satisfaction. That through taking a Shavua, we get filled with something, and therefore we are satisfied, because we're full. What do we get filled with? The Rebbe says that Shavua is calling on a higher power. You are swearing by Hashem's name, you're taking an oath by Hashem's name, so you are drawing on some higher power. That's the idea of a Shavua. But you can't just connect to a higher power without some medium which connects you, without some tool which allows you to connect to that higher power. There needs to be some intermediary, there needs to be some receiver, there needs to be some bridge between the above and the below. So the bridge to connect this higher power, the bridge to connect to Hashem's empowerment, says the Rebbe, is either the idea of Torah or the idea of tefillin. What does Torah symbolize? Torah symbolizes the idea of being completely immersed in Torah. That's holding a Torah. Somebody who spends most of their time in life studying Torah becomes a living, walking Torah. And by their Torah study, they are automatically connected to the divine. Tefillin symbolizes somebody who's not capable of being engaged in Torah study all day long, but nonetheless, as Shulchan Aruch tells us, tefillin symbolizes shiabud hamoyach v'halev, which is subjugating, committing one's heart and mind to Hashem. And if one commits their heart and mind to Hashem, then they can draw on Hashem's higher power. Now, what does all this have to do with a shvua of meide b'miktzas hataina? Somebody who agrees to a partial claim, but who does not accept the full claim that's leveled against them. Who says they do not owe the full amount that the person who's tainaing, the person who's arguing against them, says they in fact owe. So the Rebbe explains that Hashem makes a taina, Hashem makes a claim against all of us. And he says, we owe him everything. Based on the pasuk in Iov, Perek Mem Aleph, where Hashem tells Iov, Mi hikdimani va'ashalim, who has preceded me, and I will pay them back. Meaning to say that, as the Medrash in Riyak Rab explains, Hashem gives us the means with which to serve him. Hashem gives us everything in life. There's nothing in life that we have which Hashem has not given us. There the Medrash enumerates many examples. If you have food to eat, it ultimately came from Hashem. So make sure that you eat it in a kosher way, that you eat it in the right way. If you have a home, you only have that home because Hashem gave you that home. So make sure to put a mezuzah on it. If you have clothing, you only have that clothing because Hashem gave it to you. So make sure you wear that clothing in a manner that's consonant with the Torah. If you have a child, make sure to educate that child in the Jewish way, because you only have the child because Hashem gave you the child. And everything you do, the very fact that you have a soul, the very fact that you're alive, that ultimately too comes from Hashem. So Hashem says, Mi ikdimani v'ashalim, who has preceded me and I will pay them back. You don't have anything that is inherently your own, so you owe everything to me, and therefore divinity, getlichkeit, godliness should suffuse everything in your life. Now here the Rebbe says, many people balk at this claim. Many people would prefer to just leave religion in shul. They would like to leave religion at the Shabbos table. They'd like to leave religion at the shir they go to, but they don't want Yiddishkeit, they don't want divinity, they don't want the divine perspective to pervade every part of their lives. These people are proverbially a mode b'miktzas hataina. They agree to part of Hashem's claim against them. They say, yes, Hashem, I do owe you something, and I'll pay part of it back. I'll pay it back when I go to shul. I'll pay it back when I learn a little bit of Torah. But other than that, please leave me alone. I want to live a comfortable life. This, says the Rebbe, is clearly a flawed perspective. It's an incorrect perspective. So how do we deal with this spiritual malady of a modeh b'mikzas hatayna, of somebody who only admits that they owe Hashem a bit, but they don't realize that they owe Hashem everything, and therefore every part of their life should be spiritual. Every part of their life should be suffused by the divine. So here the Rebbe says that by holding a Sefer Torah, by putting on tefillin, which proverbially means either spending as much time as possible immersed in the Torah, or alternatively, if we're not given the time to be as immersed in the Torah as possible, to at least set aside time every day to contemplate and to reaffirm our commitment of mind and heart to Hashem, if we engage in those activities of the proverbial Torah or the proverbial tefillin, that will allow us to be mudah b'kulo, to admit that everything comes from Hashem, and allow us to happily suffuse every part of our lives with spirituality and higher ideals.